Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Sesternino back here, and we've got a big finale preview for Donde as we're back to talk about what might happen in the Deal or No Deal finale. Of course, back here talking Hit or Quit with Jenny, Autumn, and Chappelle. You ready?
Ready. Yeah. I'm okay. So ready. Donde!
Donde! We are
Donde!
Here with, with the incredible host of Deal or No Deal Island, Joe Manganiello. Joe, how are you?
I'm great, Rob. Great to finally meet you all. Chappelle, Jenny, what's up?
What's up, amazing. Joe? This is a good time. It was like I'm excited.
We had like a stressful voyage, as we approached the finale, and it was like Deal or No Deal. Like, it's going to be very stressful, but you get to like hash it out with Joe. I'm taking the deal.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah. Joe, thank you for making some time with us to talk about what is coming up to an exciting conclusion this week on Donde. What's this ride been like for you?
It's been a blast. Up till now, probably Magic Mike XXL was the most fun I've ever had at work. Probably for obvious reasons, but I love this show. I'm a Survivor junkie like you all. I've seen almost every episode, every season. It's something that I do. You know, I travel a lot for work as an actor, so I'm always somewhere else. Nothing ever shoots in LA, so I'm always somewhere else in a hotel room with my dog. And what I'm doing in my free time is like watching Survivor episodes on my phone or streaming onto the TV while I'm brushing my teeth at night, you know? So when they called me about this show, you know, I think I was like a name on a list. And once they started explaining it to me, I was like, you have no idea who you're talking to. Like, this is, I've been waiting for this. And so I have a blast. And also, you know, the cast was so fantastic. The producers, the showrunner, Matt Kunitz, the story team led by Sarah Happel Jackson, who did many seasons of Big Brother. You know, Matt Kunitz created Fear Factor. You know, the whole crew was up from Australia. They used to work on Survivor, so you've got all of those stories. And then you, of course, get the Deal or No Deal folks and NBC, and just everyone is just, they're so dialed in, and they love the show the way that I do. They love the show the way that you all do. And those are the people making the show. So I'm glad to see that all of that energy is coming through the screen, because we love it. I mean, after everything happens, we're all huddled around my trailer going, oh my God. So then who hates who and who talked what? We're into it. We are really into it.
Yeah. Joe,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, Rob. I have a question. Joe, you're a megastar. You're a massive celebrity, but I have to ask, how cool was it meeting Boston Rob?
So, yeah, that's what's funny is I didn't know he was added to the cast until I got to the island.
Oh, my God.
So I got to the island, checked in, got to the hotel, you know, went down and had breakfast the next morning. And some of the producers were coming over and one of them said, oh, so Boston Rob just got here. And I went, sorry, why would Boston Rob be here? And they're like, oh, he's in the cast. He's one of the guests. And I went, what? And I flipped out because, you know, I mean, he's probably my favorite Survivor. I mean, no, you know, I just, and also, you know, my whole family's from Boston. So there's a bit of that too, where he reminds me of cousins of mine. And so as soon as I found out he was on the island, I had to kind of walk it back because it wasn't my secret to give to the rest of the guests. Same with Claudia. You know, it was up to them to figure out, or for Rob to come clean about his Survivor past, or somebody to recognize him. It wasn't for me because, you know, I try to have a really, as much as I can, a hands-off policy. You just let, you let the wildlife just behave the way they want to behave. And I'm just there watching. And we're going to get a great story out of it no matter what. So none of it is scripted. None of it is really, you know, I mean, nudged. I mean, we know who has beef with who. Let's get it straight. But, you know, for me, I really wanted to make sure that if Rob wanted to divulge, that's fine. If somebody else wanted to out him, which is exactly what happened. So as soon as that happened, then it was on. Then I could make all the Survivor jokes I wanted.
And also, they need to be starstruck by you. You're the boss. So it's like, you can't show that you're like, oh, this is cool meeting Boston Rob. It's like, this is just a guy named Rob. I'm the boss here.
Sure. Well, and Rob even would test me a couple of times. There was a moment where, I think it was the archery challenge, where they had to dip their hands into the container and pull out a different colored armband for the first time. And Rob pulled out purple. And I said, oh, Laker purple. And when he turned the armband over, he gave me the finger. And that didn't make it in the show, but that became, Rob and I were just laughing and jabbing with each other the entire time. But I really made sure that, you know, I didn't have a conversation with him. I didn't let him know that I even knew who he was or watched Survivor until the show was over. And then I said, hey, you know, my family's from Boston. And as it turns out, our mothers went to the same high school in Boston, a year apart.
Yeah.
He's 1 year older than me, almost to the day. Mm-hmm. And our parents both got married in Boston on the same day.
What?
That's a lot of parallels.
So, I don't, you know, so it was, you know, and he and I then hit it off. And of course, you know, then you talk about Aaron. There's a giant 20-minute conversation about Magic the Gathering cards that was cut out of the first episode, where it was just while we were waiting for things to happen or they had to switch a microphone. I was like, Aaron, you know, you're going to buy a Black Lotus if you win this thing? What's up? You know, and we went down the rabbit hole.
You know about the princess card and all of the cards?
I knew about everything that he was saying. In fact, after the show was over, there was a magic card maker who kind of makes like fun fake magic cards. They're called proxies. And he made a proxy of me that is actually like an existing card. He just took my image and put it over it. And then I had him as a gift make one for Aaron.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Joe, you had a very interesting relationship with the contestants. I think it was Jenny that really pointed this out to me on the podcast that, you know, you are able to, you know, have fun with them and cheer them on and give them a high five when that they are do something good in the show. And it's interesting because really you have the foil of the banker who's really the bad cop. And you're able to sort of like exactly. Be there with them. Was that how you were thinking of your role in the show?
Yes, it was. And I watch your podcast every week. The Tuesday morning
you,
after
Joe.
The show airs, I make coffee. My girlfriend and I, we make coffee and we sit down and we throw it up on the TV on YouTube and we watch your show to see how you've reviewed the other episodes. And, I'm glad that you all got it because yes, I did think about, you know, what my role is, you know, what is my role here? You know, and it's kind of a P.T. Barnum of this crazy circus that, you know, the banker is bankrolling. But at the end of the day, I'm not working for the bank. Like, I'm here to run these ceremonies. So what do I want to see? I want to see big money. I want to see big risk. I also want to see chaos. So the drama, you know, I want to see all of that. You know, I think everybody at home does too. And what that does is it allows me as a host to not have to be kind of caged in or walled in by stoicism where I have to play it completely neutral, you know, and I love Probst. Like, I think Probst is probably the GOAT, you know, but, you know, for me, Rob hits that bullseye. Ooh, you know, like, because I'm riding the ride with them and I'm going up and down. And those fights, I mean, the fight in the jungle, you don't understand. That was 15 minutes of screaming. Like, there's a whole Miranda screaming that didn't get in there. And everyone else started piling on with Kim and Claudia and Stephanie. And I mean, Rob had a speech to Kim. And I mean, it was like, 15, I was like, I'm going to get some tea because I'm just standing here in the heat. Like, I might as well get some tea. Yeah. I come back. The tree goes down. about 50 yards away from where we're filming. Wild. This 150-foot, 300-year-old jungle tree. It sounded like a thunderbolt. It was like, crap. We all look. This tree goes, boom. You hear all the monkeys screaming, dust, debris flies. And then they keep screaming at each other for another 5 minutes.
I'm going to need that extended cut. Right. If we can we work that footage, out.
The live feeds. We need all of that. Because we were here for the chaos. My entire rooting interest changed with every episode just because I wanted to see more fighting going on. So I'm with you right there. 100%. Yeah.
In the way that you all, you know, review the game, watch the game, get into the game, get into the psychology of the game, that's exactly what I'm doing at every step of the way. And I'm also meeting with the story team outside my trailer, and I'm going, what happened in camp? Like, who's beefing with who? Who's saying what? Wait, there's a villain? Wait, who's the villain? Him? What? You know, I'm riding that ride as much as you all are, so that when I get to Temple, when I get to the excursion, I can set things up and understand the dynamics that are at play. And really, you know, be conscious of who's ready to explode at who at a moment's notice. And that's, you know, but that's my job. That's what I do. And it's, I'm having so much fun because I have a front row seat. I mean, I got to do a lot of work, but I mean, I have a front row seat to all the action as it unfolds.
Well, and it doesn't come off as like favoritism at any point, which I really like. Like, obviously, there are certain players, especially as they get eliminated, that you can tell you have like grown an affection for. But it's very clear that like you're having reactions to big moments that are like big moments just to view, and also looking at it from what that's going to be like on TV. So you're obviously, you know, cheering for these amazing challenge moments, but also the big moments at Temple when like, you know, a big case moment happens. And then obviously the interactions between the people. We notice those questions you're asking, Joe, to the people sitting there. We know what you're doing.
They're in the pot.
But I mean, and everybody at home wants to know those questions.
We appreciate
exactly.
it.
Yeah.
So I need to ask that question at that moment. And, you know, like you're saying, yeah, I mean, you can't help but feel for people, you know, Stephanie's story. You know, when Stephanie gets up there and goes into her story about, you know, how she grew up and what she's playing for, you can't help but have your heart go out, you know. But then the next episode, when she's going after Alyssa, now you're just in shock. So you're constantly reassessing your relationship to these people. And then, of course, how they're going to be perceived by the audience. But, you know, again, like something like the Nick episode, my God, I was shook for about 2 days after the Nick episode. I came back and just laid there wide awake, staring at the ceiling fan. And I just thought about, oh, what if that? Oh, no. You know, you think about that shot you missed in that basketball game in sixth grade for the rest of your life.
Right.
And you think about it and that's what I love so much about this format and games like this. I mean, there's the social aspect, but then there's also, especially with this show, the amount of money that is being played for is insanity. It's insanity. It'll change your life. It'll change a kid's life. So there's so much at stake, and you can't help but feel for everyone going through those moments, no matter how they're perceived by the audience at home.
Did you get that dinner from Nick?
So I went and watched. I was in New York to do talk shows for the premiere. And I'm like, you know what? I'm in New York. And then, so I wrote the production and said, what's Nick's number? and I called Nick up, and Nick and I watched the premiere. I watched it with Nick's family and his fiance and father-in-law, you know, the in-laws at this Chinese restaurant in
Chinese.
Brooklyn.
Yeah.
What happened to the lasagna?
I thought you were getting
what happened to the
manicotti?
He told me, Nick told me in the exit press that you still owe him an Italian dinner, because he's not taking that Chinese dinner as, you know, the baseline. I think y'all had a deal.
Wait, I thought I was invited.
Yeah, but you got to come back for more. You know what I'm saying? I think you're part of Nick's family now for sure.
Maybe you were only invited if you want. No, it's the other way around.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'll give him a call. I'll see if he answers.
Joe. Can we talk about this past week? Because, okay, this is, you know, your first time out being a host of a show, and you are really thrown into this really tough situation, and we have the final four, stakes are super high, and You said, okay, no looking at anybody else. And Boston Rob looks over and you got to make a call here. And you're also in that role of sort of like, you know, the umpire on the field. You got to make a decision. How tough was that for you?
Well, you know, you have to take your emotion out of it because at the end of the day, it's a game and the integrity of the game has to be above all else.
Yeah.
You know, and I see this show going many years. And if you want the show to be the kind of show that players can study, players can understand and get better at, you need rules. And we were clear about those rules. Now, I will say that as an avid Survivor watcher, you've all seen it. Survivor puzzles, you have to destroy that puzzle when you get done so that they can't see you. But Survivor puzzles are sometimes 15 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way to cover that or build a wall to cover that. But if you see, the stands actually did have blockers. But, you know, I thought immediately when Amy finished, I thought, okay, throw those numbers in the bushes. You know, that was where my brain went because I know Survivor. And I just think for a moment, that's where Rob's brain went. You know, he went, oh, well, she must have left it. Let me go look because that's what we do on Survivor. But we were so clear. We went over it over and over. And, you know, Rob is so great with the rules. The entire competition, Rob was always finding an advantage. I'll give you a little piece of insider information. So in the dropping out of the tree sandbag, where, you know, where the giant fight happened and the tree went down.
Stephanie screaming. Yes.
Stephanie screaming. Rob winds up going first. And now, mind you, Rob was the alliance was accused of protecting Rob, but there was no guarantee that Rob was going to get the highest case. It just so happens that Rob's luck is so out of control off the charts that, of course, he hits the million and he's got the highest case. So it just so happens that it's Rob, but it could have been anybody that if Stephanie hit that steal, she would have to steal from him. But anyway, so it's Rob. Rob goes up first. Rob knows that in the rules, if something happens or malfunctions or goes wrong with the drop, you can have a second toss. So what does Rob do? Drops out of the tree and doesn't throw the bag. He holds on to it so that he can get a feel for how the swing is, when to throw. And it was like, oh, this guy, he gets it. He's looking for any advantage that he can.
That's what I remembered from that challenge too, where I was like, I can't believe he went first and made such an excellent, having not seen anyone go already to get the timing right. So that's like incredible to know that he found a way to mitigate that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was always so interesting to watch him and listen to him. And that's why his confessionals are so great because he even says it in one of the episodes, I'm going to teach a masterclass after this. He was teaching a masterclass while he was in the game. He was showing you, I mean, even in, you know, when Nick is up there playing against the banker, Aaron turns to Rob and says, do you still think he's going to vote you out? Even after you've made it clear, kind of stepped out of the game and said, I never put your name up for elimination. And he says, yeah, of course. And you know that he's right. You know he knows if he's talking. He knows when people are lying. He knows when Stephanie's lying. He knows when Alyssa's lying. He knows when everybody's lying. And that was it was so great to, we were so lucky to have somebody like him of his caliber, a game player like that, playing with people who hadn't played before. Because I think now, especially, but I do want to say that this was the first season. And any other season of Survivor, Amazing Race, Rob had film to study. But with our show, he didn't. So we were watching him work it out and figure it out on the fly, which was an amazing thing. And we all thought he was going to be gone week one. Like, no question. We were like, when he survived the first elimination, I was like, he's still here? I mean, we all thought this guy's gone. You know, they know he's on Survivor and they're letting him stay around. And then he just went on that immunity winning streak. And it was like, okay. This guy's, he's for real. It was amazing to watch. But I think in that moment, you know, circling back, you know, I just think in that moment, I think that there was, you know, it was just a lapse. It was a momentary lapse that, as you can see, costs him a pretty serious penalty.
Yeah, Joe, knowing everything you know about Boston Rob, being a huge Survivor fan, how devastated would you have been to be the one to ruin Boston Rob's chances at winning this had you had to call him and disqualify him from this game? Because I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I would have the heart.
Well, that's the thing. Again, it's like, you know, what's my job on this show? And sometimes I have to do things that people aren't going to like. But rules are rules. Bankers Island, bankers rules. That's how it goes. So, you know, with that said, again, once I enact the penalty and then everyone else disappears into the maze. Okay. Now there's 3 minutes where I'm going. Remember when the Patriots were down?
Yeah.
28-3 in the Super Bowl. You remember that? They came back. Remember that time when, and I'm telling Rob, and now I'm trying to pump them up. Why? Not because I have some sort of favoritism towards Rob, but because it's going to be better drama.
Yeah.
If Rob like gets in that maze, you know, like a wild animal and goes, which is what happens. So
you're actually his like confessional ghostwriter then, because he mentions the Patriots thing.
You accepted him.
Yeah,
sure.
No, completely. That was something I said to him. And listen, I'm a Steeler fan. I hate the Patriots, but it doesn't matter. Like I'm there for Rob in the way that I would be there for anybody who had some sort of time penalty. It's like, all right, here's the slap on the wrist. But now let's get focused. Let's get back into the game. Let's make this game the best game it can possibly be. Get your head focused on just getting through there and getting out of here with a high value case before anybody else gets back, you know, because again, it's like, I just want to see big money. I want to see big drama. So I'm there to kind of nudge them and help them in any capacity.
Yeah. And the time penalty really did change all of the drama of what was going to happen. I was really wondering if maybe Rob should go in and just get one of the low value cases that would and then just get back sooner to make sure. But because they all knew he had the penalty, it seemed like that the other three women were going to be able to all come back with a high value case. And then but the one of them that was going to be back the last would have been automatically eliminated. So there was a lot to work through in this challenge.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, the challenges are interesting because you know, we've all seen like the likes of Ozzy, who sends himself to Redemption Island so that he can feed every person eliminated at tribal council, feed them and fatten them up and then just destroy them and send them home.
Look at you.
You know, we've seen all those challenge beasts, Rob, challenge beasts. Like, you know, we've seen all of those players, and this is a different type of game. And what I think they've done so well, or we've done so well, you know, you correct me if I'm wrong here, but it's how bad do you want it? It really does boil down to how bad do you want it. It's not necessarily who's in the best shape or who, you know, it's can you overcome your fear of heights, which is a real thing for people. I mean, Stephanie was catatonic on that swing. Can Dawson overcome his fear of snakes? I mean, the answer is no. But like, you know, we all, you know, how bad do you want it? Can you get in there? And then, you know, things like when you're absolutely exhausted, can you turn in your map for a set of keys and remember how to get through this maze? You know, it takes... There is a physical element to it, but only up to a certain point where it's just how bad do you want it? And I think that's really what this competition was all about. So, yeah, I mean, the Rob time penalty, yes, I think it did level the playing field because, you know, as we all know, especially in season 22 where Rob won, there was that staircase challenge that was brutal and he just pushed through it.
Literally, you know? Carrying his family on his back. Yeah.
Completely. Yeah.
Could you talk about the relationship that Rob and Aaron had throughout the show? Because in my mind, I feel like that was really like the heart of the show. Just this very unlikely bond between these two characters that you probably could have never imagined interacting in the real world. And then they had this very unlikely friendship across the whole season.
Yeah, completely. It was the greatest thing for us to watch unfold. I mean, all the producers, we all were like, we loved it because it was so genuine. It was so real. And a lot of some of the things that went on at camp, I didn't really see until they were, you know, the episodes were being edited and I was going in and we were ADRing and things like that. But like, you know, to see some of the conversations, I didn't see the before dinner banana conversation. You know, I didn't know like how cute some of these interactions are. Buddy, come here. Listen, buddy. I know. No, come here. Listen, you got to get your hand again. I know. You know, it was, but also you see where, you know, I don't know if this is the right crowd to make this reference or not, but, you know, where, you know, Luke Skywalker beats Obi-Wan, mm-hmm. where you have those moments where Aaron outbluffs Rob. We were like, what? Yeah. You know, we were so excited to see Aaron have his moments. Aaron get out of that throne and get the two keys by lying to Alyssa's face, the princess, you know? So, but then of course, you know, you have the walkie-talkie mishap, which again, there's like 15 minutes of Rob instructing when he got back, like a dad would with a kid, like channel 2, try it. Channel 3, you turn the channels instead of the volume, you know, and you have that whole conversation. So, it was great. It was like, I think one of you said we should see him on The Amazing Race. And it's like, yes, yes. Rob and Aaron on The Amazing Race. Like, I'm all for it.
It would be a mess, but it would be so fun. Like how many more, you know, technical things can we get Rob, you know, getting frustrated and exasperated and like teaching Aaron, like, okay, in this situation, you need to turn this here. Like I would live for it.
But it was also like, it's, these games are so interesting because there is that social aspect and there are these social dynamics. And yeah, they've only known each other for a few weeks, but you see that like, okay, Rob has a wife and four daughters. This is the son he never had. Clearly he's trying to do the best that he can to help Aaron out, you know, and like, listen, let me roll your sleeves up. You're going to go out on national TV. I want you to look good, you know, and it's, it was so great. I mean, and those are those magical things that happen. You know, the reality gods really were shining on us and we just couldn't believe it that, you know, Aaron only comes back with three arrows. Rob hits the target. It was like, what are you talking about? You know, and anytime Rob was left to his own devices and it was just going to be luck, he'd pull a high case. He's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. I will say, you know, this final four episode leading into the finale, I missed Aaron's presence and I almost felt like I could feel Rob missing Aaron's presence. Like I felt, you know, maybe that's just because I'm too emotionally invested in this. Like I cried watching Rob, you know, say his goodbye to Aaron, but I felt like the dynamic, obviously it was a different episode too, right? Cause you know, we're down to the final four. It's mostly about this maze excursion. And obviously our cliffhanger here, but I really felt like I saw what Rob was saying, I need you here. Like, you know, and he said it in a confessional too. Like I needed him as much as he needed me. And I really noticed the different energy, just in the show without Aaron, but also how Rob was acting. So I almost wonder, I was like, hey, if Aaron was standing up there in that four, would Rob have caught the rule? Like, you know what I mean? Is there some sort of thing where it's like, even just his presence is like a comfort and like a dialing in? Cause I just really felt a shift without Aaron being there in this episode.
Yeah. And we all felt that shift too. After episode 10, I mean, all the players were crying. I mean, everybody had tears in their eyes. The producers were messed up. Like Ben and Kamari were messed up. I was messed up. I was like, Rob even called me on it. He's like, you just choked it back. And I'm like, stop it. Don't look at me. You know, I think all of us had a lump in our throat because I think, you know, and I even said this to Aaron after the show was over. I said, buddy, I said, you better get ready because all of America is going to fall in love with you. Like, you're going to be like America's favorite person. Like, so just get rid. And he was like, oh, okay. And I'm like, no, seriously. And, you know, even after the episode where he stormed off, and threatened to quit And we really did think he might take off, like he might be out. After that aired, I know that some people, like, you know, people online are crazy and they just say crazy things sometimes. And I saw that he had posted something that I'm going offline for a while. And so I got his number from production because I wanted to send him that magic card anyway. And I was like, I got him on the phone and I just was like, hey, don't listen to any of them. It doesn't matter. Everybody wants you to win. Everyone watching this show would be so happy for you to win. So just don't listen to any, it doesn't matter. Who cares? I go, you could be Mother Teresa and somebody's going to talk shit about you. You know, it's just terrible. Brad Pitt, George Clooney. I mean, I go through it all the time. It's just like, forget them. Don't listen to them at all. Like this is, but this isn't going to be your last reality show competition either.
Oh,
I'm just saying, like, this is my, you know, crystal ball. People are going to want you on other shows.
He's going to the Traders.
Oh my gosh.
I would love to see Aaron on Traders. Are you kidding me? Oh my God.
I don't know if my heart could take it. I'm sorry. Because I still have questions for Aaron. But Joe, maybe you could give me the answer to this question. When Aaron goes out by, and get eliminated by losing to the banker, we do not find out who Aaron would have eliminated because there was a lot of the show trying to present us with Rob would be going out potentially there. But I don't think he had it in him. Joe, what's up?
I cannot speak for Aaron.
Man,
I definitely want to hear Aaron's answer to this.
You didn't ask him.
What I will say is, Aaron will have to answer for himself. But I really did get the sense. I got the sense that he would have taken Stephanie out.
Stephanie,
was kind of the vibe that we all had.
Yeah.
But there were things that went on that we couldn't predict. But I remember having the conversation with the story team and going, who do you think? And there's like, I think we were all kind of very much sold that he was going to go after Stephanie. I think.
Well, it felt like she thought that too, right? Like, because it almost felt like, I don't know. That's why I thought they must have had a conversation or something where, you know, he let her down and said, listen, I can't turn my back on Rob, because I felt like she was like really nervous.
Yeah, I think so. I think, and I think that there was, you know, there was some things done in desperation. I mean, obviously, when you get your back to the wall, you know, hey, Rob, Aaron wants you out. Hey, Aaron, Rob wants you out. It's like, oh, yeah, right. You know, but I do think that, you know, Aaron played the game pretty well. I mean, other than like walkie-talkie mishaps and things like that. But I mean, he had a good showing. Like, you know, there were challenges that he won. There were challenges that were not for him. Obviously, but I think that he was thinking like a gamer, you know, look at like Survivor season 8, you know, which is Rob and Amber. Towards the end, Rob's having in his confessionals going, if she turns on me, I'm going to lose my mind. She could turn up. This could all be nothing to her. And she could put the game, like it didn't work out that way, but you always have to speculate. You've got to be looking over your shoulder. You have to know somebody's going to try to come after you.
Yeah.
Well, and you can see that in how Rob talks about Aaron in that episode too, where he's like, he understands intellectually that Aaron's best move here is to actually get rid of him. But you can see the emotional pain in him to be on the other side of it and be like, but I hope he doesn't, because I love this kid. You know what I mean? Like, you can see this happening.
But I think that's why people really love Rob. And I think that's why this season especially is a really interesting turn for Rob and who he's been on other reality competition shows. Because, like I said, he does remind me of cousins that I have from Boston who are just cutthroat. They don't care if it's a game. They're going to win. I don't care how I win. You know, it's that kind of a vibe. It's like win at all costs. But, well, if you don't want it to be that way, well, don't make the rules that way. And so, you know, Rob's playing the game, but then, turning to Stephanie and saying, you know, you should separate your emotions from this because you're coming off like you hate that person. But this is a game. And I think Rob didn't take any of that personal. It was all business. So I think at the end of the day, he would have understood that. But yeah, it would have broken his heart. Of course it would.
Joe, we've all been impressed with Rob all season long and fell in love with Aaron, but there's still three other contenders for the title that are going into this. Could you tell us what impressed you the most about Amy and Stephanie and Jordan?
Well, you know, Amy's a tough one. You know, she's very feisty. And also you can see, you know, okay, so who's the leader of the Night Owls? Probably Amy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
That's what I've been saying.
which is interesting to that someone's charisma can put them into a situation like that. Now, you know, Rob wasn't buying any of it, but, you know, Amy found her majority. And now, granted, you're not voting in a tribal council, so there's not a group vote. It's just someone fires a shot or they don't. And, you know, but the fact that she had that many friends is a tribute to her and her charisma. She's a very charismatic, very fun, you know, person. You know, Stephanie's interesting because Stephanie's in that alliance and you think, oh, well, it's because they want numbers. But it's like, well, what numbers? You know, Stephanie was like turning on everybody, you know, oh, Jordan, come be a part of our, you know, our group. Okay, well, then let's work together. No, you know, like it was always something, you know. She was trying to play her own game, but you can see how still being a part of the group was comfortable. You know, nobody wanted to be in that tent by themselves. And so I think, you know, but I think also Stephanie has an incredible amount of resilience, and you hear her talk about her background. And, you know, she's overcome some difficulties. And she's got a really amazing story and a nice life now. And so, you know, she wanted it bad, and she would have done whatever she had to do to whoever to win. And you have to respect that in a game like this. And then Jordan, you know, Jordan's interesting because Jordan did what, you know, what I think a lot of people have issue with, which is riding the middle. But in this game, she rode that middle and stayed out of the firing range. And, you know, there's a lot of luck that's involved, but she won her fair share of challenges. She was a challenge threat. And so, you know, you can see how she kind of sneaks in at the end and is kind of playing both sides. So, you know, I think it's, you've got these different strategies, but what I really love about these shows is, especially the champions, they have some sort of superpower. You know, even like you look at like Russell Hands, like Russell would like assemble a harem. You know, he'd have all these like women working for him. You know what I mean? He's like burying the machete and burning socks and making chaos. You know, like he would sniff those idols out without clues. Like he just had these crazy, you know, this crazy superpower. Ozzy, challenge beast, no social game whatsoever. I don't care. I'm gonna have a girlfriend in the hammock. That's how pompous I am about my abilities. I'm going to have the girlfriend in the hammock. You're going to knock her out because you're never going to get to me. Then I'm going to vote myself. You know what I mean? Like, so you see how these extraordinary personalities sort of play out. And now that we're towards the end of the season, you can see what each one of those finalists, what their kind of special ability superpowers are. And yeah, like Amy, charisma, Stephanie, I think perseverance and ability to, you know, her ability to play anybody, you know, and I think, and then Jordan's ability to kind of, you know, hide in plain sight.
I would like to, you know, make an extra case here for Jordan's gameplay as well, in that, like, in this episode, we even hear Stephanie talking about, it's like Jordan's finally like playing the game and like having these strategic talks. And it's like, Jordan has been playing the game. She's just been playing, like, knowing where you stand in a hierarchy is like such a powerful thing. And you don't have to be in every conversation and making these big plays and these big moves if you are well positioned. And that is still playing the game. And so I thought it was like very interesting that like Stephanie's perception was that like Jordan just showed up and is finally playing the game. It's like, no, she's just playing the end game version of like her style of game, but it's just different because she was in a different position.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I would also piggyback on that and say that Jordan's security as a person, like meaning there were players who from jump were insecure about Rob. And it's not that Rob even went after them or even saw them as a threat, but they were so insecure. And even after leaving the game, you have people going, oh, well, Rob's playing the victim card. It's like, no, no, no. You all were scared of him from day one. Everybody was. We all watched it happen. So the fact that Jordan was secure enough that she didn't feel like she had to make some sort of outwardly adversarial comment to Rob or position herself as in opposition, that she could actually, you know, go over here and talk to him and have a conversation and go over here and talk to everybody else. That's real social game. But it took not feeling threatened per se by Rob. And, you know, I mean, I think, you know, as we get to the end, you kind of go, okay, well, if the last challenge is physical in some way, what's the best matchup physically? Maybe Rob versus Jordan, because maybe Jordan wins depending on what it is. You just don't know. So Jordan had a really well-rounded game. She had a sneaky social game.
Yeah, I think all of them are gamers, really. I think if you look at the way Jordan played the game, that's a viable, you know, option and strategy we've seen on different shows. Just hiding in the middle, not making any waves, turning it on at the end physically and winning the challenges that you need to win. Perfect. You know, I think Stephanie's more kind of just like bulldozing her way through the game. She'll lie to you, backstab you, turn her back on you in a heartbeat, but she's going to make it to the end. Now, if there's a jury vote at the end, it don't bode well for Stephanie, but we don't know that to be the case, right? And then with Amy is a gamer because Amy knows the strategy. She knows that I should be lying to these people at all times. She lies so quickly to everybody. Like Boston Rob, I swear on my kids, it's me and you to the final two. I don't care what anybody says.
There's only three cases.
And look, make a right. Oh, I mean left. I'm sorry, my bad. Like Amy does not care.
The quickness.
So, yeah. So in my opinion, if it's going to come down to three competitors against Rob, I think all three of them are interesting and have their own kind of spin on how to play the game. And I'm proud of all of them for making this far.
Well, and that's right. And I think, and what I love in hearing you say that is that you get the game and you get that how this game is different, which is what I was fascinated to see the whole way. Is, you know, and what I'm fascinated about, you know, knock on wood, moving further, officially moving further, is into other seasons, is how people are going to learn how to play that game and how to learn how to play it best. Because, yes, you're right. There is no jury vote. So you can lie all you want. There is no jury vote. You just have to be afraid of the person who's up there playing against that banker. And in case they wind up getting power to eliminate and you're up for elimination. So, you know, it's I think as we move on, you're going to see people kind of figure that out, but there's so much money involved and you have the ability to lie to people's faces all the time without seeming repercussion, unless it's a personal one-on-one, which I think does change the game quite a bit.
Okay.
And I just wanted to say, like, the cast itself front to back has been really, like, the fact that we got, you know, a show with Boston Rob and then, you know, Claudia, who, you know, many of us were recognized as well. And then, you know, what, 11 other people that we weren't familiar with, and that every episode has been entertaining, and it's, you know, Rob has been such a presence through the entire thing, and he's, you know, absolutely made it what it was as well. But there's been so many like other great characters that have come out of this. So it's really been like awesome to see that the show was great, not just because of Rob, like the way that everyone's stories got told, and just like the interactions between these people that like we didn't know who they were a couple of months ago. And now, like, you know, if we hopefully are going to get other seasons, we're going to get people making references to like remember when Stephanie and Alyssa and like Amy did this. And, you know, like, so I just think that it's really awesome to see that the cast around Rob actually did really bring it.
Yeah, I don't think you've seen a last of a lot of these folks. And also, you can see at the end of the episodes, we're now teasing, you know, go to dondisland.com and submit to be a guest on a future season. And what's coming in so far is unbelievable. unbelievable. Like, good. I mean, this cast was incredible. Incredible. They were so great. And we lucked out in so many ways. But moving forward, I mean, I don't even know what the next season is going to look. I mean, it's going to be wild.
And do you think it'll be all new players? That will be a mix of people we know from before?
Bring us Sandra.
Hard to say. Hard to say. But it'll be great. I mean,
so they're going to surprise you with another Survivor when you get there this time. Like, it's going to be like your second favorite Survivor
gonna
player.
Coach.
It's just going to
be
Coach. Yes.
Please.
He's there to play honorably and teach everyone yoga.
Okay. So
I will watch that.
Joe, then what can you tell us about the finale Monday night? Dondi is coming to a big, exciting conclusion. A lot of money up for grabs. What are we going to see on Monday?
Monday, you're going to see... Okay, well, you're going to see the resolution of the maze.
Yes.
And as you know, two of those competitors are not going to move on. So then you're going to get a final two. You're going to meet the banker.
Okay.
You're going to get a finale, a final excursion that is harrowing, to say the least.
Okay.
Again, who wants it the worst? Because there is the moment during this final excursion where in the pit of my stomach, I just thought, what if they both quit?
Wow.
Like, what happens then? It was real. It was like, there's no way. I don't think this is going to happen. So you're going to get to see that, and you're going to get to see Triumph. And then you're going to get to see on the right side of the board, you're going to see $45 million in play on the right side of the board. And I'm actually going to, hold on. I'll be right back. Give me 2 seconds.
Okay. Joe has gotten up, walked away from the podcast.
The dog still in place.
How are you guys doing? You still okay?
I'm still okay.
I'm sweating.
I 45 million just caught me off guard. So I don't have to, my pits are doing things.
It's yeah. I'm broke.
Okay. And now Joe has returned with a golden briefcase.
Golden case.
Yeah, I'm putting the dog down.
Okay. Deal or No Deal, season one. Okay. A case that's for $13,857,100,000.
Wow.
I got
that's a big
all.
That's a big amount of money.
We almost didn't get insured.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, you're going to see, I mean, the stakes couldn't be higher. It's a heck of a finale. It is a heck of a finale.
Okay. Joe, thank you for making time to talk to us about this. We really appreciate all your work on the show and really appreciate you making some time to talk to us about Dondi.
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 Bubbles.
Yeah, will Bubbles be in season two? How come he didn't get to be in the show more?
Bubbles was between every single setup, Bubbles would come out. So Bubbles was there on the island the whole time. As were snakes, scorpions, monkeys. I mean, I was like the pet, not the pet exterminator, but I was like the island exterminator when it came to Joe, there's a scorpion over there. Joe, there's a snake. Joe, there's a spider, jungle bee.
Wasn't that Miranda's job, though?
You should have been doing it. Yeah, actually, we wound up having a talk about all of that. Yeah.
Okay. Joe, anything else you want to let the listeners know?
I mean, thank you all for watching. Tell your friends. Catch up on Peacock. You know, I just want to say to you three, I think you're awesome. I love this show. I'm a big fan. So keep doing what you're doing. And I'll see you around for season two.
Okay. Thank you so much, Joe. Thank you. Follow at Jenny Autumn. Follow Chappelle at Recap Kickback. And we'll see you. We'll be back with another recap after the finale. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.